said, stick to it. You'll be all right. And I sat down and started fooling with it, and everything came good. And so I'm going to continue in that series, and I'm going to tell you why if you're visiting. You know, we'll throw Easter in there. When Mary got to the tomb, the stone was rolled back and Jesus was gone. And she was really upset about it. And so she was outside crying, and she ran into who she thought was the gardener. And it was Jesus, and he said, why are you crying? Then he said, whom are you seeking? You see, if you're visiting here, for several weeks now, we've been seeking God. Amen. We've been seeking God, and just like Mary, we're looking for. And lots of things have happened here. We've been praying, and we've been fasting. We've had two solemn assemblies. We've seen some miracles. We've been experiencing encounters with God for quite a bit up here, if you're just wondering. God has given us a message from someone who spoke in tongues, and it was interpreted. The spiritual world has become really real for us. And we seem to be going places that we haven't been before. And I'm okay with that. And I don't know exactly where we're going. But I believe you're here today because I prayed for you. I believe you're here today because you need a breakthrough. Every slap dab one of you need a breakthrough. Because I prayed, and you know, when I started this series, it was around spring break. I said, Lord, I know there won't be a lot of people there. Everybody's gone. He told me not to worry about the number. Just pray for the people that are looking for a breakthrough. So if you're here, it's because you've been prayed for. If you're here was looking for a traditional Easter message, well, you're going to get the one that you need. Because I believe you need a breakthrough. Amen. And if you don't need one, you're going to need it later, all right? But we've been seeking God for a breakthrough prayer for a few weeks here at North Point. I want to tell you, I heard of another one this week. A lady had a breakthrough with her family. Hadn't spoke to her brother in 6 years. 6 years. Prayed for that breakthrough. He called her. Said they want to mend this thing. They're having dinner today. They're going to hunt eggs together. Son, I'm at that age where I can hide them and hunt them. Shoot, I have a good time. But anyway, a lot of you guys have received breakthroughs at work and your family and financially But one thing I want to kind of tell you today is breakthrough prayers are not for everyday use. I want us to make sure we know they're not for everyday use. They're for a crisis that's uncontrollable. Breakthrough prayers are for when everything's going wrong and you can't do nothing about it. And you just need God to step in. But you and I, we need to know how to pray a breakthrough prayer. So that's what I'm going to try to teach you for the next couple of lessons. I'm not going to be able to get them all in today. The visitors would be just slap dab ready to kill me if I got them all in. But these lessons have changed my life dramatically. And this element that I want to talk about in breakthrough prayer is actually thanking God in advance for your breakthrough. Let me try to explain it this way. If I were to call you at home, and I would say, you know what? I'm going to pay your mortgage for the next 12 months. I just wrote a check and just mailed it. You know what you'd do? You'd thank me. You'd think, because Jim's a somewhat honest guy. He good on his word. You turn around and your wife say, Jim's paying our mortgage for the next year. Let me just go ahead and tell you, don't expect that call. But if I did, you would say, man, thank you, Jim. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You would thank me for giving it to you even though you haven't received it yet. This is what I'm talking about. God's good on his promises. He's good on his word. You can thank him before you receive it. Amen? So that's what I want to do. And we don't wait till the check clears. We go ahead and thank him. So one of the five elements of a breakthrough prayer is thanking God in advance. At the top of your outline, Mark 11:24 says, anytime you ask for anything in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you will receive it. I love the way the tense changes from past tense to future tense. It says you have, and it will change. It will. And some of you might be saying, Jim, you mean that I got to believe I've got it in order to get it? Yep. You got to believe you got it in order to get it. That's called faith, is we start thanking him before we get it. This is the difference between gratitude and faith, and both are important in prayer. We talked about gratitude last week, and by the way, did y'all do the list of 50 things? I'm going to go with one or two of you did, just to make me feel good. But anyway, write this down before I get all tore up. Thanking God after he gives something is gratitude. Thanking God after he gives something is gratitude. Thanking God before he gives it is called faith. That's the difference between gratitude and faith. And in a breakthrough prayer, and I believe every one of you need a breakthrough prayer or you wouldn't be here. You could be anywhere, but I believe God has brought you to hear this. In a breakthrough prayer, you need to have faith, not just gratitude. And we need to thank him in it. Advance. You know, you really ain't got to ask God but one time, then for the rest of the time, every day, just thank him. Just ask him and just thank him after that until it arrives. That's faith. That's faith. Abraham did this. He asked God to have a child, and God said, yeah, I'm going to give you a child. You're going to be the father of many nations. And so for 25 years, Abraham thanked God. Thanked him. 25 years he thanked him, and then he had a baby at the age of 100. Can you imagine having a child when you're 100 years old? I can't imagine thanking him for it. But he did. But he did. One of the best examples of a breakthrough is 2 Chronicles. Sorry, Lord. In chapter 20, and I'm going to read the first five verses. I read them last week, and I'm going to read them again about King Jehoshaphat. These three armies are coming against him, and he knows he's going to get creamed. His country is just going to get creamed, and there's no way that he can overcome these 3-1 odds. And we talked about one of his first responses last week of praying and fasting. And, man, wasn't that fun? We had a church-wide fast, and we're gonna do that some more. But this week we're going to focus on the actual prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. And I hope you'll take your outline home and use it as you pray during the day. And like I said, you need a breakthrough in your life or you wouldn't be here. I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. I may not know you, but I have prayed for you. I don't know where you need it. But until you know what you're praying for, you're not going to have a breakthrough. Whether it's finances, a job, or relationships, a marriage, spiritual health, you know, any area that's uncontrollable, that's unmanageable. I'm going to tell you something, by the way. Most of the important things in your life, you can't control. Most of the important things in your life, you can't manage them. So this is, oh. Hey, now this is different. Breakthrough prayers is different from normal praying. I want to tell you this, because breakthrough prayer is different. I want to read these first five verses. After this, three enemy nations united to attack King Jehoshaphat. Spies told him. A huge combined army is marching to Jerusalem right now to defeat you. Scared and worried, King Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. And he announced a nationwide fast. So everyone came together to fast and to pray and seek help from God. When they all got to the temple in Jerusalem, the king stood up and he prayed aloud. I'm going to tell you something here. He did about three things that we need to do in a crisis. Three correct, right things. First, he prayed privately. Then he gets other people to pray. Then he prayed publicly. And this is what you want to do when you're in a major crisis in your life. You want to pray privately. He says he resolved to seek the Lord. So instead of worrying, Jehoshaphat worshiped. He made a choice that instead of panicking, that he would pray. He didn't seek a consultant. He didn't seek an advisor. He didn't look at his business plan. He went directly to God. Guys, prayer should always be a first choice and not the last resort. Always. Too often, you know, we act like prayers is the last thing that we can do. I go to people's house sometimes, they say, well, all we can do now is pray. And somebody always say, well, has it come to that? Is it that bad? It should be our first thing. It should be our first choice. Now, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I go try to fix things before I pray. But then when I hear that statement, all we can do now is pray. Second thing is this, that he does right, is he enlisted others to pray. Now, he was king, so he got the whole country to pray. He enlisted the whole country. I'm going to tell you something, guys. There's power in group prayer. And throughout this series, we're going to pray for everyone in the church, and everyone's going to be praying for you in the days ahead. It's coming. There's enormous power in group prayer. If you remember back in Job, he lost everything. And he lost his wife. Not his wife. She was kind of a thorn in his side. But anyway, I shouldn't have said that. But he lost most of his family, his finances, his property. And what Job do? He began to pray for his friends. And when he began to pray for other folks beside himself, God did a breakthrough in his life and doubled him up. And as your pastor, I want a breakthrough in your life. So this week we're going to look at Jehoshaphat's prayer, which is the rest of chapter 20. Since Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he set his face to seek the Lord. Now you may be here today and you're in a position where you're afraid about what's going on in your life right now. It's okay. I want to tell you, it's okay to be scared. But it's important what you do with that fear. That's the important part. When Jehoshaphat was scared, it said he set his face to seek the Lord. He turned his attention to God. Remember I told y'all that Angie likes it when I turn my face when she talks to me? She likes it. She don't have to keep saying, Jim, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Because she knows when I look at her that she has my attention and that I'm focused to her. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He says he turned his face to seek the Lord. God's got your attention. That was the first thing that he did. And God likes that when he has our attention. And so what do we do in a breakthrough prayer? The number one, just what I was talking about, just filling in your blank right quick. We're going to get through these quicker than you think. Start by focusing on God and not my problem. Start by focusing on God and not my problem. Now, it's sort of natural to start telling God about the crisis. You know, as if he don't know about it. I find myself being so silly sometimes. I'll be telling about what's going on. Oh, you knew that. You already know about that. But God knows that, so don't start it that way. What I'm saying is focus a breakthrough prayer on God, just like Jehoshaphat did. Write these down right here. The first thing you do is this. In a breakthrough prayer is to remind myself of God's greatness. We're talking about a breakthrough prayer. They're different. We ain't talking about blessing the chicken and the ham today. Remind myself of God's greatness. This is what you do when you're praying in a crisis, when you're praying for a breakthrough, something that you cannot control. Don't focus on God, on the problem. Focus on God's greatness. You're a great God. You're a loving God. You're a faithful God. You're an incredible, amazing God. Because I'm going to tell you something. The bigger God gets in your mind, the smaller your problem becomes. So let's get there first. All things are possible with God. Amen? Second Chronicles, where are we at? 6. Oh Lord, are you not the God in heaven? You rule over every kingdom and nation. You are so powerful and mighty that nothing and no one can defeat you. So remind yourself, that's what he's saying. Ain't nobody can whoop you. The second thing you need to do is this. Remind myself of his unlimited power. Of his unlimited power. When I realize that he has all the power, I don't have to rely on my power. He got it all. I can just trust him. So I think of all the ways that God has helped me in the past. I think of all the ways that God has helped others in the past. And I think of all the people that he's helped in the Bible in the past. You know, I think of the Exodus. When he split the Red Sea, I think about that a lot. That must have been something to see. Fish on the right side of me, you know, eels on the left side of me. And sharks and turtles. Just, I'm walking right through the middle of them. I think about that a lot. I know it's crazy. I want to do that one day. If they take requests in heaven, that's what I'm going to ask. Let me go to that sea. I want to see that. I think of the rock where the water come out of. You know, I think about that, and I think about those miracles and the miracles that he's given y'all. Guys, if he's done those miracles, he's given you miracles, he can do it again. He can do it again. Verse 7 says this, and God, did you not drive out those who tried to keep us from living here, and you brought us back home? We're talking about the Exodus again. You see, there was a famine in the land of Israel, and so they all went over to Egypt. Where it was good, well, that was a bad mistake because then they held them as prisoners and slaves for 400 years. Well, then it was Moses coming. God sent Moses, going to take them back to the land. Well, after 400 years, there's other people living in the land. And other people didn't want to leave. We've been here for 400 years. Well, this was our land. God promised it to us, so we're going to take it back. But these guys was bigger. There was giants in the land by then. But guess what? God held to his promise and gave them back their land, even though they didn't want to give up easily. God drove them out. This is the next thing. You can write this down. Remind God of his promises. Remind God of his promises. They were saying, God, didn't you promise to help us, to take care of us, to take care of our needs? You promised. Listen to this, verse 7b. And also, did you not give this promised land to your friend Abraham's descendants to be theirs forever? I'm going to tell you something about God. I find out God loves to be reminded of his promises. He really does. Now, we don't. We don't like to be reminded. Parents, can I get an amen if I don't like to be reminded of my promises sometimes? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Daddy, you said. Daddy, you said. I know you're tired. I know you work 16 hours. But you said. Mama, you said we were going to have pinto beans tonight. You promise. And we don't like to be reminded of our promises. Sometimes, kids, when y'all remind us of, I just tell you, sometimes when y'all remind us of a promise, it's a pain. But it's never a pain to God when we remind him of our, he loves it. When we say, by the way, God, you promised in your word right here. He likes it when we know his promises. And so that's part of a breakthrough prayer. Then the last thing is ask God for a breakthrough. Just ask Him. Turn on the back pages. Our enemies want to destroy us. Will you not stop them from defeating us? On a breakthrough prayer, we got to be very specific about the breakthrough that we want. You and me, we got to know what we want to ask for. You need to clarify what kind of breakthrough you need in life. Don't ever say this in a breakthrough prayer. God, just bless my life. Oh, God, just give me a blessing. That's so vague. I'm not making fun of it, but that's so vague, and that's so general. I mean, how do you know if you got it or not? You know what I'm talking about? Because what is a blessing anyway? I don't know if anybody right now could give me a definition of a blessing. Because sometimes a blessing is a problem. And it keeps you from a bigger problem. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. So you might be saying when you pray, when you just say, God, give me a blessing, you might be saying, God, give me a problem. Do you really want a problem? So don't be vague and general. You want to be careful about what you ask for. Don't be vague and general because you can't measure that. But when you say, God, I need to get out of debt, or I need a healing for this particular thing, or I need for me and my brother to start talking again, you know, this relationship to be healed, you see, that's measurable. That's specific. And so ask God for a breakthrough. This is that's the first step. That's the first step. Now, during that step, just to summarize it up, Jehoshaphat asked God four questions. Are you not God? He said, are you not God? You know, then he says, did you not help us in the past? Have you not made promises to us? And will you not do it again? Will you not do it again? You can pray those exact things in your own breakthrough prayer. Now we're on number two. We're getting there. We're going to be all right. Here's the second part of a breakthrough prayer. Tell God, I can't do this. I need you to do this. I can't do this. I need you to do this. I'm going to get a hold of this and I'm going to explain it to you. But this means you feel powerless. And that it's impossible for you to do this. And you're saying, God, I can't do this. I don't have the power. I don't have the knowledge. I need you to do this. And this is what makes breakthrough prayer different from other normal prayers. Now, other normal prayers is, God, I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your courage. I need you to help me. A breakthrough prayer says, I can't do it. I just need you to do it. I just need you to do this. It's when you feel powerless. Anybody ever felt powerless? Everybody ever, just about has. You ever held a crying baby? Can't get that baby to shut up for nothing. I mean, just what do I do? You stick stuff in their mouth and everywhere, you know, and you rock them. You just, it's a powerless situation. Amen? When you can't do nothing about it. And by the way, this is the first step of Celebrate Recovery, is that you realize that you're not God and that you're powerless to control your tendency to do the wrong things and your life is unmanageable. When you get there, it's the first step. You're powerless to control. 2 Corinthians 20:12, where am I? It says, Lord, we are powerless against this mighty army that is coming to attack us. And we don't know what to do, but we are looking for you to help. You should do this exact thing. Tell God exactly how you feel. I just can't do this. We don't know what to do. The second thing is he says, I love it that he says, here's a king. He says, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. You ever had not the slightest idea of what to do in a situation? Are you in there now that you don't know? Then he says, here's the right thing. He says, we're just looking at you. God, we're looking at you. We're going to focus on you. Because he's saying, God, I need more than your help. I need you. I need a breakthrough. I need more than your help. I need you to take care of this. You see, I don't have to be powerful if I'm connected to God because he's all powerful. I don't have to be all-knowing if I'm connected to God, because he's all-knowing. I don't have to be everywhere if I'm connected to God, because he is everywhere. If I'm just connected to him. So what do you do if you find yourself in this situation that you can't control, that's unmanageable, and you've said this prayer, you've said this breakthrough prayer? Well, you wait and you trust. Because sometimes faith means just doing nothing. Sometimes it just wants you to stand still, and you wait and you trust, because you trying to do something puts the ball back in your court. You're trying to manipulate your prayer. We're talking about a breakthrough prayer here. The Bible says that these families stood, these men with their families stood, and they waited while the enemy was coming toward them. Then all the men of Judah stood before the Lord, waiting with their wives and young children and even babies. And they said, God, we're looking to you. We're at the end of our rope. This is too big for me. So we're going to wait, we're going to watch, and we're going to trust. Amen? This is the tough part. And guys, I want to tell you, you need to get the whole family in on your breakthrough prayer. So if you're a parent, you know, and you're praying for something in this series, and you need a breakthrough in your life, you need to sit your kids down, and you need to eat a meal together, and you need to tell them what you're praying for. You need to tell them that the breakthrough that you need. And you need to stand together. And you need to pray about it. And you need to stand before the Lord. Amen? I'm serious about this. I'm talking about stuff that you can't change, but our faith will make the difference. Amen? I'm going to show you. My family needs a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough with Papa Bob. We need to know what to do. So I want to ask my family to come on up. Papa Bob is sick. Come on up here. Rob, help Nanny up. Well, I can help you up, Nanny. But we need a breakthrough. Nanny's been taking care of him. And I ain't going to say she's old, but she's been around longer than I have. And it's tiring on her. It's tiring on her. And come on over here so everybody can get up here. And so we need a breakthrough. I don't know exactly what, but we need something. She's asking for a breakthrough. Rob and Debbie and Angie, they need a breakthrough to help with Pawpaw. Wouldn't y'all agree? So we're going to pray. And I'm going to close. I'm going to tell you what. If you need a breakthrough, man, come on up. I'm closing. It's 10 o'clock. Straight up and down. Look at that. Now I did good. I'm going to pray for a breakthrough. I'm going to pray for a breakthrough with my family. If you guys need a breakthrough, you can stand up right where you're at. But after I pray, the band's going to sing. If you want to come down and you want to pray, there's folks in here that need a breakthrough. If you want to come down right now, you want to come down with your family and you want to pray for, we're going to stand before God. Enemy's coming, he's coming against us. We're going to watch and we're going to wait. We're going to pray and thank God in advance for the victory. He healed you once, Lord. He'll do it again. Do you need a breakthrough? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we celebrate your resurrection today because you are a good and mighty God. You are great. We are more than conquerors in your name. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Lord, you made some promises that I'm holding on. I lift my family up to you. I lift Nanny and the rest of them. We don't know what to do. We're at an impasse and we can't control it. Life has become unmanageable. We sought answers and we're running into brick walls. And so I lift the situation up to you. And I ask that you make a way where there is no way. And I thank you for doing that. I look forward to see what it is. And Lord, me and my family, we're going to stand here and wait. We're not going to waver. We're not going to try to make things happen. We're going to wait on you to do it because we done messed things up. We're going to wait on you to take care of this. Your way. Your way, Yahweh. And it's in the name of the mighty King and Savior Jesus Christ that I pray these. Amen.